This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, the Roebling Suspension Bridge turns 149 this year, and preparations are underway for celebrating the big 150th anniversary next year. We'll get some history about the bridge, and we'll hear a new book that details its construction. But first, taking what's known as a gap year is not common in the U.S., but it is increasing in popularity as a number of students are considering spending time outside the classroom between high school and college to gain some real-world experience. And joining us to talk about the pros and cons of a gap year are University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management Caroline Miller, Miami University Assistant Director of Admission Ann Bader, and Associate Provost and Chief Student Affairs Officer at Xavier University Dave Johnson. You can join us this afternoon at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ann, Caroline, and Dave, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
You're welcome.
It's good to be here.
So, Ann, it's not so common in the United States, but how much is this idea growing? How much popularity has it been gaining?
Well, at Miami, it's been pretty consistent over the last decade. We have about 40, 45 students a year that will be admitted, confirm their enrollment at our university, then request to take a year off to do a myriad of different things. So at Miami, it's been available and around for a long time, but it's not an overwhelming number.
Caroline, what about at UC? What kind of interest are you seeing in the gap year?
A slight increase, but if we do 25 in a year, that's pretty significant. A number of our programs are five-year programs to begin with our co-op, and students are anxious to get started so that they aren't in school forever through that process.
That has to be one of the considerations, I guess, when you're thinking about whether you're going to take a gap year or not.
And with co-op, those are sort of gaps anyway along the way. So,
Dave, what about at Xavier? What's the situation there?
Well, at Xavier, 10% of students who are accepted and enroll will take up to a year off before they start at the university, and a whole number of them are, in fact, doing gap years.
So I guess that would bring up the next question. Each individual university has its own policies, I guess, about gap years. So what stance do you take at Xavier on gap years? Do you encourage them? Do you help students find their way through these?
Yeah, certainly we would invite a student to take a gap year, and in fact, we'll hold all their scholarships for up to 12 months so that if they want to take time off, they can start up at the university the following fall or even just the following January after an experience. And we want to support them in doing this if they want to do it, because it's often a good for them and for the university.
Caroline, UC?
I would say in general that's the same with UC. We do have a couple of exceptions. For example, sometimes it's fine in the conservatory for a student to do so, but recruiting for a conservatory is like recruiting for a football team. In the year you need a piccolo player, you really need a piccolo player. so we're fine from the admissions standpoint, but in some of our colleges, we do have to go that second level in terms of college approval.
And Anna, in the case of Miami?
At Miami, especially, we're a university that really encourages study abroad, and since that's the number one reason, we have students requesting the gap year. They're doing some kind of study abroad, or they're au pairing abroad, or doing a mission trip of some kind. It fits really nicely in with what we encourage our undergraduates to do anyway.
We're talking about taking what's known as a gap year, that year between high school and in college to gain some real-world experience. And my guests discussing the pros and cons of a gap year, University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management Caroline Miller, Miami University Assistant Director of Admission Ann Bader, and Associate Provost and Chief Student Affairs Officer at Xavier University Dave Johnson. And if you'd like to join us in the conversation, if you have taken a gap year or you're thinking about it, give us a call at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So, Ann, you mentioned some things in general, but a little more specifically, what kinds of things do students do during a gap year?
Well, I did a little research to prepare myself to come down here, and the top categories, and I would have said this off the top of my head anyway, was the study abroad or research, doing something abroad. Military often comes into it. A student's been accepted into the National Guard. They're going to do basic training in the fall. So that's why we'll get students that might start in January or the training that they're going to do to both serve the country but also earn money for college will get in the way. So that's our second most popular. We'll often have families request a leave because of either illness in the family or a crisis in the family or with a student themselves. They face surgery. There's some issues going on, and they want to take that year to get well. So that's it. And then at Miami, since we're a big hockey school, I'll mention that we do have a significant number of young men every year that can play junior hockey and not hurt their eligibility with the NCAA. And most of our hockey players are recruited out of those junior hockey ranks. So they'll defer their enrollment, hoping to get the eye of the hockey coaches and be able to come play at Miami.
So playing hockey for gap year.
Right.
It makes sense with Miami, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't advertise it or encourage it, but we're more than happy that any family that wants to bring it up to us, that we'll work with them. And we do similar to Xavier. We'll hold their scholarship. If they were admitted to the honors program or our school of business, we'll hold that for a year. The caveat is they can't take college coursework anywhere else in the meantime. That would negate all of that and make them they'd have to reapply then as a transfer student.
Caroline, what about at UC? What are some of the common activities that students are doing during that gap year?
I think they're very similar. We don't have a hockey team, so we would take that one off the list. But we have a really interesting student who was planning to come in this fall. This is a case of one, but she's been admitted to our industrial design program, and she's going to spend a year exploring the world through creations of industrial design by others so that she can find her path when she gets to UC. And so she has a very, very complete travel plan all set up for the way she's going to spend this year, because she thinks that will inform, hopes that that will inform the way she pursues her industrial design career. So that was one of the more interesting ones.
That is interesting. That's very interesting. Dave, what about at Xavier? What kinds of things are students doing during the gap year that you see there?
You know, very similar things that were mentioned in terms of jobs, internships, travel.
Can you top Caroline's story?
She wins on this one. And then we have some students who are just saying, I'm just not ready. And so then they're picking a whole variety of activities to help prepare them for college.
Are there actually organizations out there that help students set up their gap year that say you can do this project, that project, or work in this community?
I was surprised. I did a little web search, and there is a bit of a cottage industry that's growing up around helping students get the most out of their gap year. And obviously, those are mostly students from, given the costs associated with doing those structured gap years, students more likely to be from pretty affluent families to be able to afford that route. But it's an option.
It's interesting. There was a 27% increase or growth in participants in these kind of programs just last year in the United States. So you are seeing an increase in a growth and participation in these kinds of opportunities.
What are some of the organizations that are out there? Can anybody give me some examples?
I was looking on my list, and there's something, Rustic Pathways, Torchbearers Program out in Colorado, but I'm not sure if those are specific gap year programs. Did you have some?
You know, I would say there are actually many, and a quick Google search for gap year programs, and you will find a host of them immediately. So
Semester at Sea, some students will do that for a gap year.
Knowles, there's outdoor opportunities. I mean, it depends on, the question is often, what are people trying to accomplish with a gap year? Because then there's different programs to meet different objectives. People can find opportunities if they want them.
And something we haven't mentioned is also mission trips of some kind, which
service.
I would imagine it's a service of that kind with a religious organization or a service organization.
Mm-hmm. So what do each of you see as being the advantages of taking that gap year?
I would put two on the list. One is affirming a choice that a student has made relative to what they want to study. And then the second, depending on the student, is, you know, some students just need a little more time to mature to be able to handle the college experience, particularly if a student has graduated young from high school, to be ready to manage all of that comes along with living on one's own for the first time.
Is it common for students to change their idea about what they're going to study during that gap year? In your experience, do you see that?
I would have to absolutely guess it would, just because it happens all the time. When they show up on our campus, they change their minds. So I'm sure a lot of them will have a very grand notion of what something is, and then they discover, wow, that's not what I thought it was. So I don't know for sure, but I can have to say it would have a huge impact.
You know, I might try to link the last two comments and say, you know, when we think about what could be the benefits of a gap year, the job of a college or a university is not ultimately to get students degrees. It's to help prepare them to be leaders in their communities and their workplaces. And very often, a gap year serves as an opportunity for students to explore their interests, to figure out what they're good at. And that can result in students arriving at school more prepared, more motivated. And they invest more in that college experience, and then they leave better prepared to be those leaders. And so, you know, it can really be a good. And I do think, as Anne suggested, and I've certainly seen this, students who do these kinds of experiences, they start out thinking they want to do X, and they very often end up doing Y.
Or the exact opposite. They've really affirmed that notion.
Yeah.
Of
yes,
the,
exactly.
I really do
That's
want
true.
To be a physician, or I really do want to be whatever that thing is. But I'm not sure there's
point,
much middle ground.
It gives them time. That's like right. you were saying, Caroline, it gives them time to think it over. And make sure that they made the right decision, which I think that's a good thing. Any other benefits anybody wants to bring up about the gap year?
Well, it's taking risk, and that's something that we find this generation of students is reluctant to do. They've been kind of they're good students at our universities. We get pretty much students that have done very well in high school. They followed the path that's been laid for them. So these ones that deviate from that path are taking a risk inherently. And the fact that they do that, and then that they come back to us, they're not as nervous or scared to fail at something or to struggle at something. Because for many of these, it's military trainings, being living in a foreign country and speaking in a whole new language. All these things are things that some students will shy away from, but these students do not.
I couldn't agree with what Anne said more. The one other thing I would add is that you have a lot of graduating high school seniors who have lived in somewhat narrow worlds, perhaps. And for many of these individuals who do gap years, it's an opportunity to be exposed to different people, cultures, realities, and it prepares them for the diversity of a university campus, and often excites them about the opportunity to learn more from other people and places and ideas.
We will continue our conversation, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. If you've taken a gap year and you want to share your thoughts, give us a call. Again, the number 513-419-7100. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. And joining me this afternoon as we discuss the pros and cons of a gap year, University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management Caroline Miller, Miami University Assistant Director of Admission Ann Bader, and Associate Provost and Chief Student Affairs Officer at Xavier University Dave Johnson. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. What do you see as maybe some of the disadvantages of taking a gap year?
Well, getting off the academic track a little, I guess, if you're...
So you can lose momentum, I guess.
Exactly. I think that would be the greatest concern, maybe, in terms of forward movement, that you might not want to come back or get so far away from academics that you may never come back to your degree.
Mm-hmm. It depends a lot on the student, but you know, if part of that plan is to take a gap year to make money, sometimes the having money in one's pocket becomes a distraction and doesn't necessarily get saved for the purpose of which it was intended to pay for college, but rather begins to support other things in a lifestyle that then sometimes become hard to give up.
So like changing their mind about what they're going to major, and they can change their mind about just going to college, period, during that year. Dave?
You know, I don't know that this is a problem, but I would say it's a challenge that needs to be faced. Is students who have these kind of experiences need to think carefully about how they're going to kind of reintegrate into the college environment, because they might be in some ways a step ahead of some of their peers, and that's just going to be a reality that they're going to have to manage, and they're going to have some support in managing that.
513-419-7100 to join us, and Abigail in Clifton joins us now. Hi, Abigail.
Hi. I'm giving a call just to say my husband took a gap year between going from high school to his undergrad, and he's a dual citizen. He went to Norway, and in Norway they have programs where they have their students, they actually pay for their students to be able to take a gap year, and they take classes. He traveled with his group, and he would never have regretted it. He's getting his master's now, and he is 2 years behind where his other students would be in his grade level, but it was so enriching because he got that cultural experience and got to be serious. He got to be fun for a year and then have, take it down to be serious. So he really loved it.
Mm-hmm. Abigail, thank you for the call.
You know, Abigail, it's funny you mentioned that. I spent some time in Norway in college, and I don't think I, at that time, met a peer who hadn't taken time off during their studies. It was just par for the course, and you could tell that it had served many of them in terms of helping them to identify direction and motivation.
Let's talk with Todd in Madeira. Hi, Todd.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So I guess this is a question for the group as a whole. I've got a daughter who will be a senior, and she's very young for her grade. So we've been kicking around the idea of a gap year or really just taking a break between high school graduation and college just to allow that maturity to occur. So my question is, does it make more sense to apply to a school, get the deferral for that gap year, or just hold off for an entire year before applying in the first place?
This is Caroline from UC, but I would suggest that the student apply and hold their place, but then clearly communicate with the university of choice what their plans are and to keep in touch through that process. By communicating, you save things like scholarship awards and the like that you might not be eligible for under different circumstances.
Mm-hmm. At Miami, we expect the student who's doing the gap year to confirm their enrollment, which is a deposit. The worst thing that could happen is, at a school like ours, you would lose that deposit if she changed her mind. But she would have the peace of mind in that gap year knowing she had a place. But then again, she may discover that that's not the type of school. It isn't like we will come and bring her back and drag her and make her go to Miami. But by applying as a high school senior, you're in the time of your life where the counselors are there for you, your peers are going through it, you can get that in and then take that gap year. And that's a very common reason for a young graduate to mature and take some time.
I simply echo the recommendations of my colleagues. I think they're right on.
Let's talk with Heather in Northside. Hi, Heather.
Hi. My question was actually how a gap year fit in with the FAFSA. As a low-income, when I graduated, I was low-income. I had no one to help me navigate any system. And they have this question, if you receive it the next several years, what was the first year you applied for and received financial aid? And then they go back 2 years prior to that and ask if you filed independent taxes and made a minimum amount of money. Because I didn't, I had been 16 and 15 years old prior to that. They included my mother's income for the next 5 years. So even though I was independent, I couldn't get any financial assistance because I had already received FAFSA and they went back 2 years. So actually taking a two-year gap would have been much more beneficial if I could have filed independent taxes.
Yeah, and the FAFSA rules are changing again. So, it's really important to.
It's getting simpler, right?
Oh yeah. it's really important to get some advice on that piece through the aid office that you're thinking about going to, or through someone else, because the federal government really does believe that parents are supposed to be helpful in that paying for college process. And most 15 and 16-year-olds aren't independent, and so you get caught in that perceptual wicket. So I would say get some advice, get some help, ask a lot of questions before you commit.
Sarah in Westchester joins us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks. Go right ahead.
I'm going to tune in, just speaking from experience. So I graduated high school at the age of 17 years old, and I was prevailed academically. So my parents said, yeah, go ahead, go away to college. I think it'll be a great decision. And I totally agreed. So I went away to school, and because I chose not to take that gap year, I think it contributed to the reason why I floundered around with choosing a degree path. I didn't choose a major until, you know, late my junior year, and then by that time I had decided once I got into it that I really didn't like it. It was a degree in business. So I changed my degree that next semester to philosophy. And while I really did enjoy philosophy, I really didn't see how it pertained to what I wanted to do, again, as a career. So, again, just speaking from experience, I did drop out of college the end of my junior year, and I lucked into a really great job that I've had ever since. But it's been haunting me, you know, this entire time not having that bachelor's degree because I'm stuck in my position. I don't have any... I'm not able to gain any forward momentum in getting a promotion because I'm constantly being beat by people who do have their bachelor's degree. So if I could do one thing over, it would be to take that gap year and do a little self-searching before going to college.
Thank you, Sarah.
You know, Sarah, thanks for your story, and I think that it's certainly suggestive of the opportunities within a gap year to determine some direction and the importance of that once someone is in school. I would only add that I think it's also kind of incumbent upon universities, and I know that our three universities all take this very seriously, that we try to help students once they're in school to find experiential learning opportunities where they can explore some of their personal and academic interests so that they might find some of those avenues that will be productive, and I would certainly encourage students enrolling and parents of students to make sure that they early on in their college career do some of that exploring, because if not, it can lead to the outcome you just described.
Matt in Silverton. Hi, Matt.
Hey. I just want to comment that I also took a gap year in between high school and college, and it actually totally changed my whole path. The experiences I had that year totally changed what I was going to do, and actually ended up with me being in Cincinnati, changed the schools that I decided to go to, and so I'm a big fan of the gap year.
That's great.
Matt, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you. If someone doesn't know what they want to do right away, would are there alternatives to gap years, maybe taking classes at a local public school or a community college that might be as beneficial?
Well, absolutely. I know at Miami, and I'm sure at the others, we have a specific program for first-year students called University Studies, which we've really fine-tuned over the last several years for those students that have no idea what they want to major in, have a vague idea, and we assign them faculty advisors, senior faculty advisors at summer orientation that will guide them till they figure it out, that will stay with them, because student success for all of us is the primary. We don't admit students saying, oh, some of them we don't care about and they're going to be gone. So I think every school in the last several years has really refined a lot of the advising and a lot of the programming, so students don't have to have that major first semester or they're behind. I would guess that's true.
Yeah, I would add, I think that there are great alternatives to the gap year that can be structured within the context of a college or university, and certainly within our three. It is critical that students figure out what they want to study. Interestingly enough, very often the route to determining what they want to study can be through experiential learning outside of the classroom. And so I would just again reiterate that people consider options like studying abroad. You could study abroad as a first-year student. You can seek out internships in areas that you might be interested in working in the future. But students should not wait for those opportunities till their junior or senior year. They should seek those out their first year and sophomore year, especially if they're uncertain, because that will help to that will affirm or will disconfirm, and it will give direction, which can be helpful.
And I think the one piece of advice I would give in that, and you've made the suggestion of starting a community college, and that is a great path for so very many students, but they just need to understand the policies of the institution they want to end up in, because sometimes that invalidates a scholarship that they might have been eligible for based on the policies of the institution. So you just have to go into it with eyes wide open and ask questions.
You have
questions.
To do your research, don't you,
really
and ask lots
Absolutely.
Of questions. Mm-hmm. Dave, what I'm interested in, and you've had some personal experience with gap years, and what about the idea of doing gap years midway Does it have to be before you go off to college, or can you do a gap year while you're in college?
Yeah, well, I certainly think the gap year in the middle of school can often be very effective. I know a number of students have done it, and I myself, when I was a junior, I, with two other friends, biked from Argentina back to the small university that I studied at in Minnesota. And before that experience, I loved what I did in the classroom. I was excited about what I did outside of the classroom, but I didn't have a sense of all towards what. And when I returned to campus, I was excited about what I was doing in the classroom, and there was this really cool dialogue between the experience I'd had and what I was studying, and I ultimately graduated with some momentum, a job lined up that aligned with my passions, and it served me, and I've seen it serve other students as well.
So it was a renewal for you.
Oh, very much so.
Reinvigorated you to do that. So how concerned should parents be if their child says they want to take a year off? I mean, what can parents do with their child to really explore all the pros and cons of taking a gap year?
I would say maybe do a meeting with the high school counselor that you and the students and the parents, and say, talk to the student about what are some goals. Here are students that are similar to you that have tried that. Here's my experience knowing you in the school setting. Now the parents knowing you in the home setting. Are you self-motivated? Do you need me to get you up every morning to get to school? Do we need someone to remind you to take your tests, stay for your tests? Or are you someone that's been very self-motivated? And then go from there. But I guess be really open to the possibility, but also be real. Try to make it realistic.
Caroline?
I'd say that families need to really listen to what their students are saying about why they want to do this, and help the students truly explore that why and for what purpose. A gap year with purpose does great things for a student. Mm-hmm. A gap year that's just a gap, maybe not so good. So and it has to align with what a student is, as Dave said, be passionate about. Because if it's a forced issue, students are curious things. They sometimes sabotage that forced choice either way, depending on whether and what they really need from that gap year.
Does it help to meet with the admissions people at the college you're thinking about attending?
The admissions people, an academic advisor, or perhaps a faculty member that they want to study with, and mention their own high school counselor. Make sure that what you need from this can be attained by virtue of your plan.
Dave, what's your advice?
I would just build on what Caroline said. I think she made the most important point, which is that folks really need to think about what are the outcomes. What are they trying to get out of that year, so that it becomes what, as she said, a gap year with purpose. And then they need to understand the costs, as I think has been suggested, of not listening to their students and the challenges. We have a lot of students who occasionally go on to college and university, and with a lack of direction and motivation, will then leave. And this can often be an investment that will help students stay in and stay engaged and be more successful.
Well, Anne, Caroline, and Dave, thank you for joining me this afternoon. University of Cincinnati Vice Provost for Enrollment Management Caroline Miller, Miami University Assistant Director of Admission Ann Bader, and Associate Provost and Chief Student Affairs Officer at Xavier University Dave Johnson. Coming up, we'll take a look at a new book that details construction of the Roebling Bridge as it nears its 150th anniversary. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.